This podcast contains strong language and adult themes. It may not be suitable for all listeners, so please use discretion. Huge thanks to Andre, aka @FreakyFWoof, on Twitter for the music you'll hear in this episode.
Welcome to West Side Story, the podcast where we introduce you to Wes, a man of many words, a few facts, and always a West Side Story. I'm Nadia.
I'm Ed.
I'm Wes. Hello and welcome to West Side Story. Today we're going to do networking.
Networking.
Shall we jump on with a Dick Def?
Network. Verb, gerund or present participle, networking. Number one. Connect or operate with a network. And as an example, compared with the railways, the canals were less effectively networked. There's a number two. Interact with others to exchange information and develop professional or social contact. Example, the skills of networking, bargaining and negotiation.
Is that it? Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Canals. I hadn't thought about the canal network. Guess it's not something that comes up in my daily life very much.
Does it not?
No, although my sister was saying to me, I'm going to Hebden Bridge tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
And she was like, how are you getting there? Please tell me you're going by canal boat. I was like, really? Are you joking? She's absolutely gutted. I didn't even know you could do that. But maybe I should start using our canal network a little more.
Yeah.
If it's so great.
Some people in Chorley used to get the canal to school.
No.
Yeah. It's an easy way to get around Chorley.
That's amazing. No, it is. What is Chorley? Just like a straight town along
like
a canal?
Yeah. It doesn't have any roads yet, so we just go around the canals.
Wow.
That was false news, by the way.
No!
Damn it. Another canal thing that's nice.
Totally bought that.
We're not that backwards in Chorley. Nearly are.
Friends of mine say that they're going to arrive to their wedding by canal boat.
Really?
That's a football.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? And then someone was saying they should then sleep on it, like that should be there.
Yeah.
Be some
interesting
tidal waves later on that evening, wouldn't there?
It's a nice way to arrive.
Yeah.
I know people that do canal holidays, don't they?
Yeah.
Have a little wander around.
Yeah.
Oh, it's making relaxing. Me want to go on a canal boat, you know.
Canals are boring though, aren't they?
Well, you do a pub crawl, don't you, normally,
yeah,
with a canal boat.
I've got friends who live on a canal boat.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't find canals very exciting. They're very straight. It's like a water road, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
And they just dig a hole.
That's the point.
You can't even...
And they put bushes either side at most of it, so you can't even see what you're doing.
You can't even overtake on a...
I bet you could if you really needed to.
You can't. It's not like a...
Do they have, like, emergency vehicles in the canal?
No. I don't think so.
They just sink. I fell in a canal once.
No, but dead serious, what would you do? I pushed someone in a canal once.
Did you? We found the Manchester pusher.
No! Oh my god! Oh my god, no.
Sorry, accusation there. Can someone please ring the police if this episode goes out and I'm not around anymore? Shan't be walking back by a Castlefield.
That's not a good joke, Wes.
Is that person still at large?
Well, they don't know if he's real or not, do they?
Yeah, it's a theory, but, like, it was a guy who, like, had writes lots of, like, murder books. You know, that's, like, crime fiction. So he's obviously done, like, years and years of research into how murderers operate, which in itself is fucking weird. But we are morbidly fascinated with it, aren't we? So anyway, he came to Manchester and, like, looked around all these sites... And was just like, absolutely, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a serial killer.
Really?
Yeah.
It's nice of him believing
just one,
him.
I think that's one guy.
Over actual professionals in a police force. It's like, what should we do? That guy that writes fiction, let's bring him in with his fat imagination.
You might have slightly more specific niche information and knowledge than...
Well, do you think the Manchester pusher exists, Nadia?
I think they should just put some barriers up around the canals at night. I think that would help.
Yeah, that'd end it.
Not just at night.
Then you get away with it then, wouldn't you? They don't forget about it and then they got the barriers.
No, I just mean because people do fall in as well. It's awful.
I used to walk back really hammered down the canal.
Just be careful.
That is risky.
Damn it.
It is
especially
risky.
After the pre-accusation that you just made. Pre-accusation?
Just not going with you.
Don't know what that is. Anyway.
No wonder you were trying to get everyone on a canal holiday. Spread them out a bit outside the Manchester area. The Rochdale. Rochdale's the next one. Cool. That was fun. Anyone got a problem? Or should we just talk about networking? The act of networking.
Yeah,
I
think the act of networking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think most people like it. I assumed you would like it for some reason.
So should we define for people... Would you want to define what it is? Just in case anyone out there has never had the pleasure of having to attend a network event.
Well, it's normally where you go to an event and you meet with other people either in a similar industry.
Mm.
And you largely try and make friends.
It's not friends.
It's not friends.
It's not friends. It's contacts.
Shouldn't be friends.
I actually quite enjoy a bit of networking. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Because it's a very middle class construct. Mm. You know, like when they say the first person in your family to go to university.
Yeah.
I'm the first person in my family to do networkers.
I don't know if I've even done networking. Yeah, I definitely haven't done it right.
You must have. It's pretty common.
Yeah, so I actually...
Because networking is even like before a conference. It's not even like a thing, is it?
I know, but I haven't like done it effectively to gain business contacts or further business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like seeing the different people at networkers.
Yeah.
Like, you've always got that knobhead that'll be like, hi, how you doing? And then they'll just like spew out exactly what they're doing with loads of figures and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was... I was doing a bit of research around this type of networking today, which was so... boring. But yeah, that was like basically what I was coming across was all the top tips on what not to do, and like that's the main thing you're not to do. But what I have done from what I found is basically six questions that are to kill that awkward first introduction and to make yourself likable, which I don't believe works. I'm going, I want to try it on you guys now.
I already have one that I do.
Oh, go on, you do yours and then I'll do mine.
Because I go, hello, sir. Right? I don't say that. But then I go...
Even if it's a woman?
But then the first question, you know.
Maybe her name's Sarah.
Sir.
Just say it.
Hi, sir.
Like Diet Coke.
But then you say, what do you get up to when you're not at work? That's my starter.
I mean, that sounds like you're going in for a date, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Go do it.
People were saying there is a level of, like...
What do you do when you get out of it?
Shag for business cards.
Whoa.
Let's have that.
I said you go and meet friends. You guys are like, no, you don't make friends. Where's this going? I'm literally using it as a physical Tinder.
But there's a thought process behind this.
Yeah.
Because if you do it, your conversation is immediately more interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're not talking about drab business.
Yeah.
But then they also tell you what they're into. So if you do want to sneak your little bits in later on, sprinkle it on a bit, you know what they're interested in.
Yeah, you're being personable. I got some real questions. These were genuine questions that people say you should ask. So, and in this order as well. So I'm going to ask them to you.
Right.
Pick who wants to do it.
Go on, Wes.
All right, I'll do it.
And I just want to see if following this conversation you'd want to do business with me. Let's see if it works.
I mean, Nadia, we've got to watch out with my kind of business.
Okay.
Wait, can we get some background? Yeah. Listeners are going to just... You can't just throw them straight into this. They need a bit of background. What's your business?
Very... Very good friend of the podcast, Ella. Me and her were talking about the boom for like organic sort of skincare and local stuff, and we were just saying we should set up a business to just con people into spending like ridiculous amounts of money on like...
Well, I am Morris.
Okay.
Not even Wes.
I am Morris, and I dredge canals and help people use canals more.
Okay.
Oh my God, what?
Dredge canals for the bodies that are left. The Agricultural Association Social.
And I'm and I'm there because I'm using natural local ingredients.
Yes. Oh, okay, cool.
Okay,
nice.
Cool. Anyway,
I'm with you.
Let's just see if after this, I'm only going to do the questions they've told me to get to know you.
Right, can you have a name as well?
If you
want to
do Sandra.
Oh, Sandra and
Morris.
Yeah, S&M. Okay.
Shaking for business.
Here we go. I'm gonna. Isn't it nice that the sun was out today?
Nice. I was on the canal in the sun. It was very warm indeed. I burnt my shoulders.
I love your shoes. Where did you get them?
I got.
Why do I imagine you in sandals?
My wife made them for me.
Did you see the news that Sainsbury's and Asda might be merging?
I don't do supermarkets.
Okay. Is that really a tip?
Yeah, to talk about a general news item.
Oh my God.
And someone was saying they literally scroll the news just before they go into a networking event to bring something up. Okay. Anyway, sorry, Morris. Someone just interrupted me. What's keeping you busy these days?
Is this actually there? What's keeping me busy?
So, the idea is that then if I've forgotten what you actually do, you'll tell me.
You know what I want to say, being the calf at the Manchester
Don't
Push.
Say that! I don't think we should be joking about this.
It's guys. Not real, though! It's not happening!
But it's real, people have died. I don't think it's funny.
It's funny that someone's connected them all and it's people falling in a canal.
Right, come on. What's keeping you busy, Morris?
Escaping the police.
What's keeping me busy? Oh, there is some Japanese knotweed growing down the sides of the canal. They're being belligerent, Sandra.
Ooh. And basically I'm just pulling faces and agreeing with everything you're saying.
Oh my God.
Where are you from and what would your life be like if you still lived there? Oh, sorry, I should probably do
that. Where am I from? And what would my life
be? Imagine these questions were all one after another.
It's fucking awful. Let me start that again, Mara. Sorry, where are you from?
This feels like an interview now.
Exactly.
Morris is from... Oh, where would I be from? Oh, I don't know. I'm from somewhere between Leeds and Liverpool on the canal.
Oh, right.
I'm definitely the Leeds-Liverpool canal. I'll be Hebden Bridge, why not?
Yeah,
sounds good.
So what would your life be like if you still lived there?
I still live there. I've not moved. Oh, right. I love the canals. I've been swimming in them since I was young.
Oh. Morris, what internet sites do you visit regularly?
Well, since we have the kids, not much has been going on, so...
Right, here's my business card. Nice to meet you. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God.
As if Sandra and Morris would do business after that. Yeah. I know that's to fill the small talk stuff, but some of that advice is terrible. Why would you ask someone what internet sites they visit regularly?
That's weird.
I think that's so
weird.
That's
very
weird.
Strange. Let me try mine.
For Sandra. Or maybe Ed should have a persona.
No, I think you should... Let's change up personas. Think of
Why
it.
Don't you give me a persona?
All right, you're at a butcher's conference.
Right.
So, nationwide, you run your own butchers. Vegan butchers in Middleton.
Jordan.
In Middleton.
Right.
And Wes does as well. You're a supplier.
Pig farmer.
Yeah. Are they actually a farmer? Yeah, there you go.
Pig farmer.
Pig farmer.
What's my name?
Ben.
Ben. And what am I? I'm trying to push vegan sausages.
Yeah.
At a butcher's conference. Okay, what's my name?
Pippa.
Okay.
Right, okay.
Pippa Pig.
This is going to be doing...
There was definitely some networking that went on in your brain there to put those two things together.
Right, Pippa. Okay. Right. But I don't know your name yet, do I?
No, so let's try...
Right, so I'm going to be Ben.
Ben's version.
Yeah.
And I'm Pippa.
I woke up. Now, if it's my networking thing, I'm probably two wines down. I look like the fun one.
I thought it was a breakfast network, but...
Yeah, I've had Bellinis.
You know, us butchers get up early.
Oh, yeah, I've never done a breakfast network.
That's what it is.
All right.
Mimosas.
I've got your mimosas. I've got a croissant covered all around my face.
Yeah, crusty as.
You're crusty as. Ben is a crusty
really
motherfucker.
Caught in a really long beard.
Still a bit of grease from his pork sausages. His homebred pork sausages.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's network.
Cooked in bacon lardons and beef brisket fat from the night before. Right, anyway, I'm really getting into Ben. I quite like Ben's high protein diet.
You might have a career change.
Right. Hello.
Hello.
What do you get up to in your spare time?
I mean, I like doing naked yoga classes, but I think that's a little bit of a private question, really.
Oh, is it? What got you into yoga, though?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm a vegan. Actually, I'm here because I want to push my vegan sausages onto you.
I'm sorry, Pippa. What would you like to do?
I'm just doing
push your vegan sausages into me
and onto you
onto me. Unfortunately, I only take 100% pork. Takes a sip from his mimosa. little finger in the air. I tell you what, Pippa, if we put our sausages together, we could have a really good business plan. Do you want my business card?
No, thanks. Pippa's done.
From Porky's Pies.
I still think it was more successful than the sex ones.
The point is, it's fucking horrible. Isn't that awful? Yeah, point is, it's not much fun. And if the aim is to go and meet all these new people, you've got to push yourself outside your comfort
zone. I actually find it fun.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's because, as I was saying at the beginning of the episode, I'm the first person in my family to go to networkers. And it's it should be uncomfortable for me.
I don't know how you know that. I have no idea whether my family go to networkers.
Because I know what the jobs are. If it's Leyland Motors and
do you know
whatever
what the
my
jobs
mum
are?
Does, she's not networking. Well, actually, my dad works at a sewage plant now. Right. Imagine networking in a sewage plant. Oh. What did you do today? I shoveled out shit, Roger. What did you do? I found a bit of your feces actually in here. Oh. They also get, this is an interesting fact where they are, they've got an extra contract to look after Heinz beans, baked
as
beans.
Well as shit.
Yeah. So there's like a separate thing for it. And if you smell all the waste bean smell, you wouldn't have Heinz beans again. It's gross. Anyway, so I'm the first person to do networkers.
Yeah.
And everyone's got this idea of what a networker is and it's boring. Mm. Yeah. So if you go in without any of that problem in your head,
yeah,
and that forethought, yeah, and just go to meet people and treat it like the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a lot of success.
Yeah.
I guess it's in the traditional business sense, if you're sent there because you've got to get sales and you've got to get connections, then there's that added pressure. But if you're just going and treating it like the pub, of course.
Yeah. It's fun. And you usually get more people being interested then. Yeah. Because you're like, you're a nice guy, I trust you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they don't.
Trust you, wanting to know my internet history.
Yeah.
The other thing it said was, what magazines or newspapers are you subscribed to?
Oh my gosh, the dullest question.
Isn't it?
I'll give you a tip, right? Yeah. If you don't like networking, you're not very confident, always take someone in with you that you're close with on like a team or someone you work with, because then you can at least bounce off them.
But you're supposed to split all these things I worry
about.
Yeah,
but
you're often
going to get stuck together anyway.
But why is
it? It's a good way to sort of, if you ever get stuck in a social conversation, you can always
ask someone where they used to live and what it'd be like.
Well, you've just got more of a rapport because you can save each other if things go a bit.
Look at you with
awkward.
Your serious tip.
Yeah, no, this
I'm
is.
I'm trying to make this a comedy.
I remember when this was a fun podcast.
Because I found it so dry.
Oh, I'm not networking with that.
Anyway. Anyone for another prov or anything? Or
move on? Here's a good one. A good question to you guys. Networking situation.
Yeah. Mm.
It's about an hour into the networker. Right. Everyone's made the hardcore groups and huddled together.
Right.
Yeah. You need to get to someone in one of those groups.
Yeah.
Let's say there's 10 people in a circle.
Yeah.
That's a big group.
That is a very big group. It's a party.
How do you break in? They're all shoulder to shoulder.
I do the splits underneath them all. Glide my right foot in first. No, but
throw one of your shoes in.
Throw a shoe!
And say, I drop something, can I just come in? What's the convo? What's your favourite website? Throw your shoe in, crawl in, and then say to everyone, oh yeah, while I'm here, what's your favourite website?
I've got one.
Smash a glass.
No, smash the fire alarm, all the groups break up.
Oh my god.
And then, you've got the building. And then you find your guy outside when they've all split up, but you can be like, oh, I wonder what the fire alarm's about. That's your start to the question.
Oh.
You're in.
Very nice. I mean, it's quite extreme.
Or you could look like a hero, set your own fire up, get the fire extinguisher out, and be like, sorry guys,
You just get someone that you know, stand really close to them, talk really loudly.
About topics. Your vegan sausages.
Your vegan sausage.
It's like, oh, Ben's got some right porkers on
him. And it'll distract people, and then they turn around, oh, hello, we haven't met. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Yeah, and we'll join your group.
Tip that I saw, I think, for this was that you should never just introduce yourself, obviously, and then just stand there blankly. And that if it's a situation like that where you're interrupting, you can just say, I couldn't help overhear and notice it was you. I want to talk to you about this thing, as soon as you've like got a moment.
Mm.
And actually that means that they probably realise they've been chatting for too long with these other people. And when you do speak to them, it's already focused and they know what they're going to
Right.
Talk about. That's a genuine, serious tip.
Why are they giving tips out? They should just make it really really competitive.
I think because so many people clearly struggle with
it. They do. It's intimidating, isn't it? If you go into a group and then people aren't interested in what you're talking about, you look at people worried about looking stupid. Like
I did a stunner with that recently in a bar.
Bars aren't networking. I'm just
But it would have failed even more. Well, actually, people would have had to feign interest. I started talking about how I make sauerkraut to some people. Did I talk about this in the last episode? Yeah,
yeah. I think I might have cut it out, though.
Yeah. Oh, this is how boring it was. This is what I mean.
Awesome. Mm. Right. Should we move on to a different kind of networking?
Yeah.
Let's do game one.
Yeah. All right. Game one. We're going to talk about the social networks. Ed, would you mind doing a dick def of the social network, please?
Oh, right, yeah. Another dick def in the episode. Double dick def.
Double dick def.
Social network. Noun, number one, a network of social interactions and personal relationships. Number two, a dedicated website or other application which enables users to communicate with each other by posting information, comments, messages, images, etc.
Thank you very much. So for this game, I've basically got 10 questions about unusual things that have happened through social networks, and I want to see if you guys can guess what the answer is.
All right. Okay. Great.
Number one, what happened to a family photo that a woman from Missouri posted to a social network site?
What was the picture of?
A family portrait, a family photo that they'd had done. In America, it's quite common to have, like, your Christmas cards done, that kind of thing. It was one of those.
It's gross, that, isn't it?
Picture of two adults and two kids.
What happened to it?
Yeah. Where did it end up?
So it ended up somewhere?
It was used without her knowledge.
If it fell down the hole of Reddit, a lot of things could happen there. Okay. Yeah. Did people start editing it? Putting knobs on people's heads?
Is that your answer?
Memeing it's good. It became a famous meme.
Okay.
Yeah.
It actually ended up being used in a giant advert in a shop in Prague in the Czech Republic.
They just used it?
Yeah, they just used it. So the owner of this store claimed he just found it on the internet and had no idea that it was like a real family photo, that it was some kind of like, like a model shot.
Family.
It must have been a good looking family. Yeah, like the Beckhams.
It's a good picture, I saw it. And this woman's friend, like however many years later, happened to be in Prague and saw this thing
years after.
Well, I don't know if it was years, but it wasn't like immediately after. Right. She was in Prague and she was like and called a friend, and then they
that's crazy
cray cray.
Wonder if they got some money out of that. That'd be nice.
I don't think they did, because this guy thought it was free usage, and who reads the terms and conditions? Alright, question number two. Which social network did the Royal Society for Public Health rank as the worst for your mental health in 2017?
It's got to be Instagram.
In
2017. It has to be Instagram. The land of vanity.
Facebook.
Insta.
Is it?
Yeah. Land of vain. I wasn't surprised by that one. Yeah. Number three. Why did YouTube cut the live stream of the birth of a baby giraffe in a New York zoo, which 30 million people were watching?
Because it actually was just a massive poo.
Coming out the wrong place.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they had to turn it off.
Because they'd still be shooting out of the back, wouldn't they? Oh, well, not shooting out of the back. shooting the
mother
film.
Giraffe was.
Oh, maybe she had half the baby and then started having a poo onto the baby that's half out.
Oh,
something like that? No? God. I feel like I'm off the mark.
As a clue for this one, think about what our reaction was just then.
Yeah. It was too graphic.
Yeah, people so they decided, there were concerns it was violating YouTube's nudity and sexual content policy.
Really?
Which is very interesting because it's a giraffe.
Yeah.
So, damn, though.
Damn.
Damn. Yeah. Those big, skinny giraffes. Ooh. Ooh, why I order? Ooh.
You know what? Somewhere on the internet, there probably is someone who is well into it.
Right, question number four. An Italian boy set up a page on a social network site promising that if it got 1 million likes, he would tattoo what on his back?
It's got to be a big knob.
Okay.
It's always something like that.
Someone's face. Like his own face.
Oh, the millionth likers face.
Oh my God, would it fit on?
Oh no.
I thought you got it then. By
yeah,
way,
I thought I was sure.
Well, it's actually 151 Pokemon.
Oh, I'd have that tattoo anyway.
151 on your back.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ooh.
But how detailed?
I don't know.
Got to scratch them all.
Sure if,
Pokemon.
Very nice. Right, question number 5. Can you tell me what sidebarring is?
Mm. It's when you have a conversation aside from the main conversation. Like, can we have a sidebar, please? And then you have a right bitch about whatever they're doing there.
Okay.
I mean, that's
but
what
like,
it is in real life.
In the context of social networking.
Is that... I don't know then. Is it when you get all your adverts?
Similarly.
A sidebar conversation.
Oh, is it when you start doing a little PM? A little personal message, even though there's a big chat on a friend, you're like...
It's kind of a mix between the two things. So it's basically when you start like texting shade about someone who's like literally in the same room next to you. Or like in the same, apparently, the sidebar. Isn't it horrible? It's nasty.
I did an amazing one once. I was on holiday.
Do people do that? Where's like, I did one.
So there's this guy, and when I was in uni halls and stuff, I used to be quite annoying, come around all the time. And you know when you get these guys that just like lie about stuff quite often and big things up to the bigger than they are, pretend they're hard but don't actually step up. He did actually step up once though, but that's a one for a different episode. Anyway, so I'd gone to Durham and I think he found out I was there or something. And he lives near there.
Right.
And this guy, I feel really bad about it, so I do apologise to him if he is listening. But he kept coming up with like random stuff all day. So I was texting Zoe Shade about him while I was across from the table. And I'd done it quite a bit, but I think I stopped. And then at the top of my text messages though, I'd like text him last and forgot about it.
Uh-oh.
So I did a massive long rant. And I was sat across from him at the pub and I sent it straight to him.
So fucking eggy.
And it was only me and him. And I just had to go, "Did a funny joke."
Oh, shit.
I still stayed out with him for about 3 or 4 hours more
and he wait, did he read it and just be like, "Oh, all right"?
No, I think he knew what happened.
You're still friends?
Got me on Facebook. We're still Facebook friends.
If you are listening,
I apologise for that moment right here.
Yeah.
Look at that apologising
so
for me.
Yeah.
How condescending.
I'm apologising as a witness to that story.
I apologise. That is my well of shame.
Yeah.
Well done for getting it.
It is a good story though.
It is a good story.
I'm kind of happy it happened at the same time because it was quite funny.
Very topical too. Right, you ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Number 6. How did a message typed on... Are we just saying Facebook? Because we said Facebook. A message typed on Facebook. Save a 19-year-old from being sent to prison for robbery. And I can tell you what the message was if you want.
Wait, so saved them?
Saved
it.
Him.
Right.
A message? Was it a picture message?
No, it just said, "Where's my pancakes?"
So was it just that was sent at a time when he was getting pancakes away from...
Yeah.
He couldn't be doing it at that exact moment. They've not seen him on his phone.
Exactly. So he actually sent it from his dad's apartment and he'd been arrested for suspected robbery.
Yeah.
And his defence lawyer used the Facebook entry to prove where he was at the time and Facebook confirmed it. And so Facebook was his alibi.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
How do they know it was him that sent it though? Maybe someone else was in his account.
I don't know. I think it's from the IP address and stuff. And obviously his dad was probably like, "No, he was at my house." So then... Okay, question number 7. What is Finstagram?
Oh, it's Instagram for... like when people are really thin, isn't it? It's like an aspirational thing. Hashtag. It's a hashtag, right?
Finstagram, begin with an F.
Ooh, is it like a fish Instagram?
If there was, I'd be all over that.
I love fish.
I fucking love fish. Yeah. That's so weird.
Finstagram.
Finstagram.
Thin. Is it a goldfish Instagram?
Nope. It is a fake or like second Insta account where you post openly but only to a few friends because the social pressure of posting on your main account is too much.
The fuck?
No wonder it's causing people mental health problems.
I mean,
crazy.
That's pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why you don't use stories. Stories disappear anyway.
Yeah.
You could just use that as your thing.
Yeah, but you don't get likes on stories. It's and the awesome. Likes make me feel so good inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Every like okay. is like a tiny little orgasm in my head.
Oh my god.
Think of that next time you like a West Side Story.
Question number 8, and this one's probably for Wes because you like to talk about him. It's not Hitler.
It's Donald Trump.
But most apps, yeah. Why was Trump's Twitter account temporarily down in 2017?
Ooh. Did he get banned for malicious content?
We wish.
I know the answer to
you know the answer. Oh, do you want to give us the answer?
An employee of Twitter that was leaving the company.
Oh, yeah!
For his last day, deactivated it.
Yes, suspended his account. Fantastic.
That is funny.
Question number 9. Penultimate question. What happened when two people with the same name met through Facebook?
Did they get married?
Can I just go on a tangent for a sec? When I first started Facebook, I don't really use it anymore, but when I first started, I literally only friended people with the same name as me. So, I'm not even kidding. And if you are friends with me on Facebook, you can have a look. There's loads of Ed Coxes in my friend group.
Wow.
Because I just literally would only friend people with the same name.
Well, check your privilege. Not all of us can do that. I'm the only Wesley Thistlethwaite on Facebook.
I'm the only Nadia Balfe.
And if they declined, I'd try and write them a message. And
what kind of message would you put?
Hey, good to meet another Red Cox. Let's be friends.
To be fair, that's pretty much what this woman did. Do you want to know what happened?
And then
you can tell me what... So her name, I think it's okay to say this, was Kelly Hindelbrandt. She looked up her own name on Facebook, wondering how many others there were. There was only one, and it was a guy.
Ooh.
And he had a shirtless pic for his profile pic. So she was like, oh, he's cute. Messaged him, and then Wes, point to you, they ended up getting married 8 months later.
What?
Yeah. Kelly Hindelbrandt and Kelly Hindelbrandt.
Aww, that's nice.
It is, isn't it?
Have they got a divorce yet?
I don't know. It did look like quite an old picture. I'm taking my name
back. Got together a bit faster. Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't keep those abs forever.
Right.
Abs are temporary. Cliff Richard will tell you that.
Did he have abs? Cliff Richard.
I don't know, do you not?
Everyone has abs. They are a muscle group.
No, as in
visible abs.
Visible abs.
Vabs.
Like a shredded Vabs. Cliff.
A shredded cliff.
Have you ever
cliff.
Seen that video? Was it Addicted to Sound? What is that song where he's on rollerblades?
I don't know.
It is so funny.
Is this Cliff Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, what is that?
I forgot. I just remember the video.
Yeah.
It's very
Is it
freaky.
Called Addicted to Sound? Is that one? I'm just going to look it up real quick. If you have not seen this video, I... pause the podcast, go onto YouTube and watch it. It's not Addicted, it's Wired for Sound. I should know the answer to that. My mum is a huge Cliff Richard fan.
Is she?
She is. Just go and watch the video for that if you're listening to this, if you've not seen it before. It is so funny. Did you ever hear that story of Cliff Richard where he's just known to be quite an innocent kind of guy?
Is he?
And when he went on tour with his band, they had a...
innocent or like naive,
yeah, just kind of like quite apparently
allegedly.
Quite a sweet person, and he was on tour with his band, and there's a pedal that you can get by Electroharmonics, I think it's Electroharmonics, called a Big Muff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, you know what would be really good for an album cover, just that Big Muff with my face on top of it. And they were all like, you're kidding. And he was like, no, I just think that looks really cool.
Oh,
I love the Big Muff. It's proper. It's proper fuzzy. It gives a really good fuzzy sound out.
Bless it.
It does.
It knows. Great.
Okay, number 10. Last question of game one. What is stashing in relation to like Instagram posts?
Oh, is it like taking screenshots of people's pictures to save for later? Mm. That sounded really horrible. I didn't mean it like that.
This is a fucking sketchy app.
Stashing. Is it like where you don't post anything that is, you stash the stuff that is not so great?
Okay. Is it having loads of images so you can just put them up?
Apparently, it's when you hide your new partners in a very new relationship from any social network posts so that you can basically be dating them but still present yourself as single in case anyone better comes along.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you stash them away.
I'm so glad I got married at an early age.
Avoiding all this shit. Yeah. So there you go, that was game one.
You know, talking of networking, so the biggest, technically the biggest network is the internet, right?
Right.
The internet.
But there's also, there's supercomputers, so I just wanted to throw this fact in because I found it mind-blowing.
Neural networking.
So I'm going to credit, Recode put this together, but supercomputers, the biggest supercomputer on Earth is in China, and these computers process at petascale speeds.
What speed?
Don't worry.
Petascale.
Meaning their capabilities are measured in terms of 1 quadrillion. Right? I can't even count how many zeros that is. So they 1 quadrillion calculations per second. Right? To put that into perspective, consumer laptops now operate at gigascale, which is 1 billion calculations per second. You imagine a quadrillion.
Well, if you can't tell me how many zeros it is, no.
I mean, it's a lot. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 zeros.
That is a lot of zeros.
That is a lot.
Per second.
How many zeros are around at the moment?
A billion.
For a laptop. A billion
so
zeros.
So our laptops work at a gigascale.
Yeah.
Right?
A quadrillion.
That is a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
I find that absolutely remarkable that a supercomputer can. I mean, you know.
Yeah, the things that the neural network can do. So, did you look into the neural network at all?
No.
So it's basically like AI and the capabilities, and some of the things they can do that are more interesting and more on the artistic side, which I find more interesting. They can like paint pictures in the style of famous painters and things. So if you feed it the style of Van Gogh or Monet or like whoever, it can then paint, doing like rabbit ear inverted commas, or create an image based off a photograph in the style of that painter. Also, a Japanese AI program wrote a short novel and it almost won a literary prize. You get all these bots that make up tweets. There is one that tweets from a fake Donald Trump account, and it's purely a neural network thing. It's just, it's analysing all his tweets and then spitting out
things
to make it, and they also write like poetry and stuff and compose music. So do you want to hear a neural network poem?
Yeah.
Okay.
There once was a man from Kentucky.
Apparently, in this study, it came out as the most human poem, and it actually came from an AI, which is good, okay. It's only 4 lines. The crow crooked on, more beautiful and free, he journeyed off into the quarter sea, his radiant ribs girdled empty and very, least beautiful as dignified to see. Mm. They are quite beautiful. They're
Why did radiant ribs stick out to me?
I don't know.
What's a quarter sea?
I don't know. Poetry!
Who rated this poetry? Who put it up there? Is it really human?
Dastidar. What's his name? Who is he?
Do they mean human in terms of mistakes?
No, it's a poetic bot.
It's hardly I wandered lonely as a cloud, is it?
No, hardly. But I just think that's fascinating that the things they can do, they can drive cars, compose music, play Go, which is like a lot more complex than chess, and beat.
Yeah,
humans.
that's the thing that people are, certain people are a bit worried about.
What's Go?
It's an ancient game which is more complex than chess in terms of like the options and the strategy and the logic that you have to apply for the moves.
But do I not know about this game? I'm not into games.
Well, they were showing the example of how they beat like the best players in the world or the best player in the world, and the fact that it can, when it learns a sequence, it can just multiply and understand every
algorithms.
Next move. So if you think about that in terms
scurry.
of how you can understand why people might be a bit worried that if it can learn a sequence and it just replicates with no emotion, like what that would be like in other circumstances. I mean, for medicine and stuff, that's amazing. But
if it gets it right, though, because some of these, like, some of them are just slightly off. Like on the tweets and stuff, some of them sound really legit, and others are just like, the fuck.
Yeah.
My favourite one that was apparently there is it can detect sarcasm, which I quite liked. Whoa. The neural network has learned to detect sarcasm. So I guess that then, I mean, sarcasm's not a feeling, but it's certainly more complex than a...
Yeah. Have you guys heard of deepfakes?
No.
Where it's like computer learning around how to replicate... It can replicate facial structure, like the structure of a face, right?
Right.
Digitally. And recreate it and put it on anything. So, like, there's... If you Google this, if you're listening as well, and you've just watched the Cliff Richard video, do check out deepfake. It's unbelievable. So they've got, like... it's a clip of Obama, right?
Yeah.
And it's Obama speaking, but they've completely changed the speech that he's making.
Whoa.
In that same scenario. So if you were to look at it, you would think that was the genuine speech Obama was making, but actually it's all computer generated.
That is the shit that's scary, is that then facts and fakes are getting...
Well, if you think fake news and then deep fakes, and the fact you could watch a video that...
Fuck.
Yeah, insane.
Wow.
I mean, that took a dark turn, I'm sorry.
It did. Should we pick it up with Two Truths, One Lie?
Oh, yes.
Two Truths, One Lie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're doing networking. I did underground networks. I did the tube.
Oh, nice. The tube.
Great.
Okay. Are you ready?
As in the London Underground.
As in the London Underground.
Underground.
Okay. The London Underground is an underground.
Right.
It is possible to build aeroplanes on the central line. And you can have a funeral procession on the tube.
Well, not all of the underground is... Like, the underground network is underground. Because it comprises the DLR, doesn't it?
Ooh,
and the overground.
Look at this jargon.
The Docklands Light Rail.
There we go.
was one of my faves. There was a bit where it goes near Canary Wharf and it felt like I was on a roller coaster, so sometimes I'd do that for cheap thrills. And then there's literally the overground as well, which goes under and over. And sometimes the tube, like when we were there last, when you're heading out towards the Barbican, suddenly you're outside and then you go back in underground and stuff, so... Was it that it is or it isn't?
It says the London Underground isn't underground.
Maybe that's...
That would be a technica.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's got to be... I mean, it's underground.
Some of it is. The majority is, I guess. I don't know. Okay, let's put that one to the side.
That's amazing.
It's possible to build an aeroplane on the central line.
It is possible to build aeroplanes on the central line.
I wonder if that's true and they did that during the war. Because I know that obviously people used the underground stations for shelter. I wonder if they also used it to build things that were like under protection. They might be quite small aeroplanes. You could certainly make a paper aeroplane down there.
And then the final one is you can have a funeral procession on the tube.
That's gotta be true. I reckon you can do that. Definitely.
Or maybe you can't yet, but maybe that's just been made a thing. Maybe you can get married on the tube, but you can't die on the... You can't... I don't know. I'm tempted to go with that one as the lie. So what do you want to...
Really?
Maybe they didn't build planes on the central line. Maybe they built tanks. Or cars. Or the actual tubes. Oh my God. Ed, you talk for a bit.
No, I don't know.
Ooh, it's a tricky one.
It's good. There's three.
This is
there.
Very good.
I'm gonna say that you can have a funeral.
You
on
can.
The tube.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you think is a lie?
You can have a carriage. I think the lie is the planes.
Okay.
And I think there's some sort of technicality around the tube, like the underground not being... Wes is pulling a face now, and I can't tell whether it's...
Okay, right, that's it. I think that the last one is the lie, and Ed thinks the middle one is the lie. Second one.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Right. Okay, so you think the last one is a lie, Nadia. I can make it official. N-L. And you think the second one is a lie?
Yeah.
You've all been fooled.
What?
Of course the London Underground is underground. It's the London Underground. Some of it isn't, but some of it is. But I thought you'd overthink it.
What? Wait, was it... Just read the statement again.
The London Underground isn't underground.
And we both said that that was true.
I was like, they'll definitely take this up. I knew that I'd fuck you up a little bit.
I'm really curious now. If you're listening to this and you follow us on Twitter, please tweet at us and let us know that you got what you answered.
Yeah.
If you fell for that like me and Nadia did.
Hashtag two truths, one lie.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone down the steps into the tube, right? There is interesting stuff, though, that only 45% of the London Underground is underground.
Ah, so it's the minority.
It is the minority. But at the same time, it is underground because part of it is underground.
Feels so good,
doesn't it? Damn it.
Okay, it is possible to build aeroplanes on the Central Line. So it was secret until the 1980s. But they built a massive hangar to build planes underground, and they had like a network of rails, obviously. They used the rails to move all the parts around.
Yeah.
Out. So they're actually building planes in World War II underneath London.
That's amazing. I
got it right. And wartime as well.
And in wartime.
Yes.
And you can have a funeral procession on the tube. So there's only been two people that have kind of been on the tube already dead and taken down. One was Bernardo, you know, Dr. Bernardo, who set up Bernardo as a charity.
Oh, really?
He was briefly on it when they were moving his body back to Scotland. And the other guy was one of our prime ministers, William Gladstone.
Oh, but so does that count like an actual procession, like part of the ceremony?
So what happened here is, so Bernardo, maybe not, right. But for Gladstone, yes. Because when he died, because he'd been in politics for so long and been such a big kind of like power in it.
Yeah.
And the public had an outcry that they wanted to do a memorial for him. So they had to really hastily arrange it, and they moved his coffin in the underground all the way to Westminster Abbey.
Wow.
Where two future kings were part of his like honour guard to take him through to Westminster Abbey. God, so amazing. He must have been very, very liked.
Yeah.
That indeed. Was a very good tea truth, wasn't that was I? Excellent. I enjoyed that.
I like the way you said that the London Underground is underground. That's really made my day. I got some other like weird facts when I was there as well.
Yeah, go
because I was going to make it a global one.
Right.
But then I decided not to.
Yeah.
But like there's some stuff like Bulgaria has got the third oldest in the world. I didn't realise Bulgaria would build an underground that quick.
Wow.
London is still the oldest, so we've still got that. And then I was looking at the deepest ones. The deepest one is in North Korea, that's now a public one, but it was built for military stuff to start with. It's 110 metres underground, which is pretty deep, isn't it?
God. And it's scary, because if like the ventilation and stuff failed, people would just drown, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah.
Like all the... There's some kind of thing that if the power went off for long enough...
Yeah, and you'd lose
net. Yeah, yeah, everyone, yeah, it was just like...
But like with the, you know, with the London Underground, I think it is every 50 minutes, the amount of water that's pumped out of it could fill an Olympic swimming pool.
I just did that face again.
So if the pump stopped...
Yeah.
Everyone would drown in the underground.
Shit, man.
I love the underground, though. I love that stale smell. I think it's really fun. And that kind of rush of wind.
I was just going to say that, the rush of warm air when you go down there. I quite
like
it.
Don't you think of all the particles that'll be like hitting your face?
I don't mind it. I like the mustiness of it.
Yeah, there's something exciting about it.
And it's so, like, quick. Mm. It's just like...
Just really randomly, no word of a lie, in Manchester I saw an elderly couple hail a tram.
Hail it, just in the middle of nowhere.
Like midway, so nowhere near a stop.
No.
Yeah, I swear I witnessed this. He went to the edge of the curb where the tram, and he waved his arms at it, and it went past. Oh. And then they both said to one another, "Oh, I thought it would stop." I'm not even kidding.
Same. Also, big statement, but finest piece of modern art in modern times. Because it's modern art. The tube map of London.
Do you think?
I think, yeah.
It isn't...
Accurate. But that's why I think it's really clever. Because they've got rid of accuracy to make it more simple. Because you don't need to know where the fuck you are when you're underground, do you?
No.
But yeah. I did have something else to say about the tube. Oh, yeah. animals found in the tube underground.
Oh, yeah. Pigeons.
Woodpecker.
Rats, what?
Woodpecker.
Was it like?
Like a sparrowhawk.
What?
Bloody hell.
Grass snakes. And slow worms.
So had these got in like of their own accord, or are they like falling out of someone's bag?
I mean, he's stealing woodpeckers.
Has anyone seen my woodpecker? Why? My bag's open and I can't.
Imagine having a woodpecker for a pet.
No.
That'd be a Sunday roast before you even started with me. I'd be like, fucking hell, he's going at it on my bedpost. It's me that's going to put notches on my bedpost, Woody.
Woody the woodpecker.
What would he do? It'd be dead handy if you had noisy neighbours.
No, I was just thinking about those people who were for the sparrowhawk. When you get those people who like carry birds of prey around on their glove, surely one of them's been on a tube and might have got
that. Have you seen that? I don't know if it's in the UK or what, but there's a picture of someone
carry grass snakes.
Well,
do they?
If they're taking them to their new home. Or like a shop.
Have you not seen the woman on the tube though? I don't know if it's a London tube, but it's one of the undergrounds with a crow, just on her arm. There's a picture.
Wait, and she just hangs out there.
Yeah, she's got a crow. She's on the train with a crow.
Which is why my theory isn't so laughable.
No, but there's not a guy there with a grass snake.
I love crows, by the way. I haven't told you about my deep love of crows.
Ed's got a deep love of crows. He's got a tattooed on him.
I do like crows.
The one of the smartest.
They are
animals on Earth.
Neural network knew that because that poem was about a crow.
Yeah, it was a shit poem, wasn't it?
I reckon a crow would write a better poem. Actually,
I think a crow would write a better
impressed.
Poem
if it just was allowed to.
Ka-ka, ka-ka, ka, ka, ka.
Especially with the woodpecker.
You didn't know I could speak crow, did you?
No. Right. Anything else, or should we close in statements?
Closing statements. Yeah. Ed?
It's definitely that they built planes in the underground. That's unbelievable. That is amazing. Love it. Nad?
I'm going to go and check your Facebook friend list as soon as we finish this and just see how many Ed Coxes Ed Cox knows.
That is interesting. Mine are, I think we need to get a novelist back in Manchester to investigate more crimes. And I've got a particular suspect that I'm going to put forward.
Shall I tell you what actually happened so we can just put this to bed?
Can we also say,
from your perspective?
Yeah.
Wait,
is this an admission?
Oh God. We've got her on tape.
It's on tape at the end of the episode.
There are witnesses, it's fine. Basically.
Wait, now there are witnesses. Oh my God.
So you have pushed someone in the canal?
Yeah, not in the
canal. Thank you everyone. That is the end of West Side Story. Have a lovely night. Goodbye.